This episode covers how to stop going silent when she needs you most. You're in the middle of a conversation, and right when it matters most, the words disappear, and you go quiet instead. What you'll get here is a way to stay in the room, even when you haven't found the words yet. You're not choosing to shut down. It happens fast, usually right as the conversation gets real, right when she's finally telling you what's bothering her most. 1 second you're listening, the next you're somewhere behind your own face, nodding, saying less, waiting for it to be over. This pattern rarely starts in your marriage. Most men who go quiet in arguments trace it back further. A house where speaking up got you punished or ignored, so silence became the safest move you had. Or a past relationship where every word you tried made things worse, so you learned that saying nothing was the only way to stop the damage. Either way, silence became protection, not weakness. The problem is that the thing that once kept you safe is now the thing costing you the closeness you want. In your head, going quiet is you being careful, not yelling, not saying something you'll regret. From where she's sitting, it looks like abandonment. Silence doesn't read as calm. It reads as absence. She's still in the room, still trying, and the man across from her is checked out mid-sentence. Going quiet doesn't prevent the fight from getting worse. It just delays it and adds a second injury on top of the first. The sense that when things got hard, you left her alone in it. Before you ever decide to go quiet, your body has already made the call. Heart rate climbs. Chest gets tight. Your jaw sets. Some men describe it as a low hum behind the ears, like the room got smaller. Gottman calls this flooding, a physical stress response that hits somewhere around 100 beats a minute, where your brain shifts into a mild threat state and starts treating the conversation the same way it would treat actual danger. In that state, you genuinely lose access to calm, measured language. It's not an excuse. It's just what's happening under the hood. Once you're flooded, your brain also starts filling in gaps with the worst version of the story. She's attacking me. She's trying to embarrass me. This is never going to end. That's a distortion, not a fact. Most of the time she's reaching for you, badly, through complaint. So here's the method. 4 things you're going to do, in order, before you ever sit down with her. Step 1. Notice it early. Learn your own signal. Maybe it's your jaw, your breathing, the urge to look at the floor. Catching it at the first flicker gives you options. Step 2. Name it, silently, to yourself first. Register, I'm starting to go quiet, instead of letting it happen on autopilot. Step 3. Buy time without disappearing. A short, honest pause beats a silent one every time. Tell her you need a few minutes, and mean it as a pause, not an exit. Step 4. Come back on purpose. Set a real time to return, and be there before she has to come find you. This single move undoes most of the damage silence usually causes. Now let's get into the actual words. Script 1. When you feel yourself starting to go quiet. Your scenario, you're mid-argument, and you can feel the shutdown starting, the pulling back, the urge to just stop talking. Say this, I can feel myself starting to shut down right now, and I don't want to do that to you. Take a second before you carry on, so it has time to land. Give me a minute to catch up so I don't just go quiet on you. Why it works? You're naming the pattern instead of performing it. She may hear a sudden silence as rejection, so hearing you name it in real time gives her something other than the silence itself to respond to. Script 2. When she calls out the silence. Your scenario. She's noticed you've gone quiet, and it's making her more upset, not less. Say this. You're right. I went quiet. That's on me, not on you. Just breathe for a moment before you carry on. I'm still here. I just need a second to find the words. Why it works? Owning it without a lecture stops the cycle where she pushes harder and you retreat further. Script 3. Taking a real break without disappearing. Your scenario, you're genuinely flooded, heart pounding, and you know you're not going to be useful in the next 60 seconds. Say this. I care about this and about you. And right now I'm too worked up to do it justice. I need 20 minutes. I'm not leaving the conversation, just my body for a bit. I'll come find you. Why, it works. A silent exit and a named break look identical from the outside for the first 10 seconds, but they feel completely different. I. Disappearance. The other is a promise. Script 4. Coming back after the break. Your scenario? Your 20 minutes are up, and it's time to follow through on the promise you made. Say this. Thanks for giving me that time. I'm in a better place to hear you now. Can you tell me again what mattered most in what you were saying? Why, it works. Returning on your own, before she has to check, is the clearest proof that the break wasn't an exit. Script 5. The next day repair. Your scenario. Last night went badly. You shut down anyway. Or the break turned into silence for the rest of the evening. Say this. I've been thinking about last night. I went quiet again, and I know that's hard on you. I want to try this differently. Can we finish the conversation we didn't get to? Why, it works. Bringing it up first tells her the pattern isn't invisible to you anymore. A few moves make this worse. Turning a need space into a permanent exit with no return time. Apologizing without changing anything concrete. Waiting for her to come to you first. Using your history as an excuse instead of an insight. Different men freeze for different reasons. And here's how to adjust based on the pattern you recognize in yourself. If you tend to agree and go along just to keep things calm, your version of shutdown is quieter and harder to spot. You say, I'm fine, and mean the opposite, and the resentment builds underneath while you stay physically present but emotionally gone. Try naming one true thing you feel, even a small one, instead of defaulting to agreement. If your first move is to explain or defend your side, you go silent after you've already argued your case, and it hasn't worked. Try pausing before the defense, not after it. A single you're right that hurt you, before you explain anything, changes how the whole conversation goes. If your voice or pace picks up before you even notice it, your shutdown often follows a spike. You get loud or intense, she pulls back scared, and then you go quiet out of guilt once the intensity burns off. Try catching the volume climb itself. If your body pulls you out of the room before your mind catches up, this is the pattern this episode is built around. The method above, catching it early and naming it out loud, is built specifically for you. Start there. The other side of this is accounting for how she tends to respond. If she tends to push harder the more distant you get, her intensity is a protest, not an attack, so don't match her energy. If she's gone quiet herself, after trying for a long time, she may not raise this again on her own, so bring up the pattern yourself. If she tends to pull back and value her own space, give her room to come back on her own timeline, instead of pushing for an immediate talk. If she's the one who tends to withdraw while you're the one reaching out, her distance is closer to her wiring than a reaction to you, so lower the intensity of your check-ins. Some of this work happens before any conflict starts. Spend 5 minutes naming your own early warning signs so you can catch them faster next time. What is my specific piece in creating this current distance? I've been checked out. I know that. That's my part. Sometimes even with all of this, it still goes badly. She might snap back with something like, don't tell me you're fine. You always say that and then disappear anyway. Don't defend your history with her. Just stay with it, plainly. You're right to be skeptical. I haven't always followed through. I still want to try. Can we talk again tonight? If she pulls away completely in that moment, let her. Follow up later. At the time you said you would. None of this is really about winning the argument. It's about what happens after. When you stay present instead of disappearing, something small but real shifts. She stops bracing for the version of you that goes quiet and never comes back. That safety is what clears space for warmth. A hand on your arm, sitting closer on the couch, wanting to be near you again. Did your partner seem more or less defensive after you used this script? She softened a little, instead of pulling away like she usually does. You just spent time with something that isn't easy to change. And that counts on its own. The next 24 hours might look like a short text before you leave for work, bringing it up yourself over coffee, or simply meeting her halfway if she reaches out first. The words might still disappear sometimes. And staying anyway is what starts to change things. If you want to go deeper on this, you'll find the links right in the guide where you got this audio, or head to the Two-Way Intimacy Library page and look for the same title. The full guide, playbook, and checklist are all available as free PDF downloads. The playbook walks you through the key steps in a format you can work through on your own. The checklist gives you a quick reference you can come back to before a conversation. Hopefully, something you heard will help with whatever brought you here today.